Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God.
I am just so glad that you are here this morning. And I'm glad that we have an amazing thing happening in of obedience. Jesus said, he commanded that we should go out, that we should make disciples of all nations. Doesn't matter from what nation, to make followers of Jesus. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to be doing that this morning. There's 10 that have said, yes, I want to get baptized. Yes, hallelujah. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you right to the end of the age. This is something that should be done even at this time, and it has been done throughout the ages, even to this day where there's 10 here this morning just saying, we want to express our love to the Lord. Praise God. Today, I just want to share quickly the best thing I ever did. Is what I'm entitling this message, the best thing I ever did. I know for me, the best thing I ever did was done over 53 years ago. I was only 7 years of age, 7 years old. And with that, in one moment of time, my life I gave to the Lord. I asked him to forgive my sins, and it was something that I didn't know to do. I had a lot of fear and anxiety just over the things that were coming. And I had heard my mom and dad talking at the breakfast table that summer's day, and it was like, it was all about the days that we're living in right now and what is still yet to come. And I was afraid. You can read of it in Revelations chapter 6 to 19. And so I was good during the day while the sun was shining. But when the sun went down and it was time to go to bed, I'm laying in bed and I remembered that conversation that was at the breakfast table. I remembered, and it was concerning to the point that I could not sleep. And it must have been several hours, and finally I went to my mom and dad who were still up. My mother, you've heard me say this before. My mom said, David, why are you still up? I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? I'm afraid of what is coming and what you talked about earlier in the day. Now, this is a 7-year-old boy talking, wasn't talking like I'm talking exactly right now, but that was the gist of it. I thank the Lord. My mom said, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Do you want Jesus to come into your life? And I said, yes. And she had expanded on this of asking Jesus into my life. But that's what the gist of it was, to have Jesus in my life. And here I am, over 53 years later, and I recognize that was the most important decision I made in my life. There are a number of you here today, and there's 10 of you here today that are saying, we are making a public confession of our faith, of who Jesus is and what he did for us in our lives. And there was just by a simple prayer of faith, and that's exactly what I did. And those that are being baptized today, at one point they recognize, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. In fact, we have all sinned, and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that, Without Jesus, it says that the wages of our sin is death. We're not talking physical death, we're talking spiritual death. And even as a 7-year-old boy, I already knew right from wrong, and there was this aspect of, in that recognition, realizing that I was a sinner. And one of the things that my mom had me pray, and I just, by faith, she helped me in this prayer, and it was basically like this: Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I have sinned. But you loved me so much that you gave your life for me. You took the penalty of my sins. You took the consequences of my sins, which is death, upon yourself, and you died for me. I believe that. You rose from the dead on the third day. You overcame death. You overcame hell. You overcame the power of sin, the dominion of sin. You overcame. And you rose again. And I ask you to come into my life. The amazing thing was this: when I said amen, something powerful had happened to me. I didn't know this would happen, but the fear that I had about the future was totally gone. There was a peace in my heart. And I recognized that the Holy Spirit, in Romans 8, verse 16, it talks about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, bearing witness with our spirit, letting our spirit know that we are a child of God. His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lets our spirit know that we are a child of God. That is the peace that I felt in that moment. And it has not left me, this peace of knowing that I'm standing right before God. The best thing that you can ever do. This is why Jesus told us to share the good news of the life that we can have in Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to talk just briefly, and especially to those that are getting baptized. Listen, you can have to listen carefully. And everyone here, it's about moving forward. What do we do now? We've given our life to the Lord. What do we do now? And I want to just share a few things around one verse. Says, I'm going to read a few verses past, then I'll go back. It says, and this is Luke 9:23. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life, will lose it. You try to save your own life, you will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, gives himself completely to me, will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? What profit is it? That's why when people, regardless of how much money or assets or material wealth they may have, even if they gain the whole world, when it comes to the point of death, they'll do whatever they can to live another day, another hour. Do whatever you have to do to keep me alive. Money does not matter at all at that point. And Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, and I'll tell you, he will lead you right to life abundant now and eternal. If you want to follow after him, you want to come after him, follow him, deny yourself, take up the cross daily, and follow me. So I'm just going to go over that quickly this morning. You might say, well, let me just share about probably the hardest times of my life. And it wasn't just a day or two. It was actually a matter of years. And I want to save you from what I went through. Or maybe you're right in the same boat. And you recognize that if I'm going to follow Jesus, I can't do it in my own strength. I cannot follow Jesus in my own strength. And this thing of denying yourself, let me just make the first point in denying yourself. You might say, what am I denying? Because a lot of people say, oh, I got to give up this, I got to give up that, and all these other things. And yes, there are things that we definitely need to get let go of because they're destroying us and they're hurting the people that are around us. We need to let those things go. And the weights that are on us that we hang on to, get rid of them. All these things that we worry about and concern ourselves with. But here's the points for denying self. There's a part of denying self that we must do. The first thing is self-effort. I am going to take care of my situations. And sometimes that's all we know to do. In fact, that's at the point that I was at, I figured that that's exactly what I need to do. I got to try harder. And I tried so hard to be a good Christian. And others looking at me might say, oh man, Dave's a pretty good Christian. Even as a teenager. Oh, he's a pretty good Christian. And yet there was things, and I tried so hard. How many of you here are fairly disciplined? You'd say you're a disciplined person. Okay, just two people. Okay. I'm a fairly disciplined person. I'd say I'm a disciplined person. When I set my mind to do something, I can do it. And this is what I found. Listen to me. Listen to me. I found that there were things that I could not overcome, things in my life that I knew were wrong. And the thing is, there was such a temptation, a pulling or whatever, and I could not overcome as hard as I tried. And I was doing things with my own discipline, with my own willpower, with my own abilities, and my own capabilities. Now, most of you here, 98%, 99% of you said, I'm not disciplined. And yet, even in your lack of discipline, you say, well, I'm not a bad person, and I try to be a good person. As a follower of Jesus, deny your effort. You say, Pastor, is it just a free-for-all? It's not a free-for-all. It's just, Lord, I surrender my life to you. I give my life over to you. I am not in charge. Think of your being, and there's a throne in your being, your existence. And who is sitting on that throne? Not oftentimes you say, well, it's Jesus. I would have said, hey, is Jesus on the throne of your life? Yep. But I'm doing everything. I'm making all the decisions. I'm doing all the effort. Jesus wasn't on the throne of my life. Now, I didn't see it at the time, but basically it was me that was on the throne. And it was my effort, my capability, my willpower, even in doing good works, doing the right things. And I would fall. And I would beat myself up. Every time I fell, I'd beat myself up. And I would continue. I got to try harder. I got to pray more. I got to read the Bible more. I got to come to church more. I got to do all these things more and more. If I just do a little bit more, then maybe I'll get over it. And I couldn't. So you go through your teenage years, you go through your 20s, you go into your 30s, and even older. I'm 60 now. And there was such a large part of my life as a Christian. I got saved when I was 7, and I was doing things in my own strength. Deny your effort, your self-effort. Secondly, deny another thing. Deny self-righteousness. You might say, what does that mean? Basically, it's righteousness is in our mind is how good we think we are. Our self-righteousness is, well, I make an examination of myself, and I think I'm pretty good. I'm a good person. Deny self-righteousness. Jeremiah says, our righteousness is like filthy rags, as good as you can be. In fact, Job, if you read Job, the very first chapter, there's a conversation, there's a scenario that talks about God is talking to Satan. You say, was Satan alive, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, 6,000? Yeah, he existed. He's a created being. There was a moment of time where he was created, but he is against God. He is not a God. He's a created being. He's already defeated, just so you know. But there's a conversation, and he's the accuser of the brethren, and I believe that he's still in that place where he comes before God to accuse us before God. And so God had said to Satan, says, hey, have you seen my servant Job? Yep. And you know what, God? You protect him. That's why he serves you. The only reason he serves you is because you protect him. You've got a hedge built around him. And basically the estimation of God of Job was he's the most righteous person on the planet. He's the most righteous person on the planet. That was God's evaluation. In fact, Job said, though he slay me, if God slays me, he lost everything, 10 children in one day. Dead in one day. All his wealth taken on that same day. Everything lost. Everything lost. And Job said, though he slay me, if God slays me, yet will I trust in him. But listen to the next part of the same verse. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. And if you read through Job, it's a longer book, 42 chapters. And throughout the whole thing, he's saying, I want to have this time. I want to meet with God. I want to come face to face. I want to talk to him because I didn't do anything wrong. Self-righteousness. The most righteous person on the planet. And when God showed up in chapter 38 and 39 and 40 and 41 and 42 and 38, chapter 38 says, I'm going to give you a chance to speak. And God speaks for the next number of chapters. And then he says, Job, go ahead. And in verse 5 and 6, listen to what Job says. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I heard about you, God, but now my eyes see you. My eye sees you. And here's his conclusion. When he came into the presence of God, his righteousness, he says, I abhor myself. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. This was the most righteous person on the planet. Deny your righteousness. It's not good enough. We're not good enough. Self-righteousness. Deny self-righteousness. Deny self-effort. Deny self-righteousness. And the last thing I would say you deny is this. Deny your faith in yourself or anyone or anything else except one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified for you. Deny everything else when it comes to faith. I will not put my faith in myself. I'm not putting my faith in a church or a denomination. I'm not putting my faith in an institution. I'm not putting my faith in the government. I'm not putting my faith in a person that I respect and I hold above all things. I'm going to put my faith in one thing alone, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why Paul says, I was determined when I came to you, Corinthians, when I first came to you, that you would know nothing else but Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you don't know anything, Lord, I place my faith in you and what you did for me on a cross 2,000 years ago. In fact, that is what baptism represents. Jesus was baptized, and John the Baptist was saying, Jesus, no, 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 no. You have to baptize me. I shouldn't be baptizing you, because his baptism was a baptism of repentance to get rid of your sin. Show that you're getting rid of your sin and get baptized. Jesus had no sin, so he was correct in saying, I should not be baptizing you. He was right. But Jesus said, I must fulfill all righteousness. If we're going to be in a right place, it's going to take one thing, and it's going to take Jesus going to the cross, which he did 2,000 years ago, and he took my sin and your sin and the sin of all of mankind upon himself, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So this is what water baptism represents. He says, no, let me be baptized. Let me fulfill all righteousness. So this is a public confession of Jesus going to the cross. As we go into the water, we're going to the cross. And as we are baptized, as we go under, we are buried with Christ, just as Jesus, our sins were placed upon him 2,000 years ago. And he died for us, and he was buried in a tomb. It's like a cave. It had a stone that was rolled across the front of it. And he was there for 3 days. On the third day, he arose, overcoming, taking the keys of death and hell and the power of sin, the dominion of sin. And he took that. And so even as there's a rising, as he rose from the dead on the third day, there is a newness of life. He came back to life. There is life in us as well, as we are baptized into his crucifixion, into his death. It's already happened. Listen to me. You that are getting baptized this morning, it already happened in your lives. So here you are. Yes, let's give the Lord a hand today. Praise God. Your faith is in him. You have life in him and through him. The second thing is this. It says, not only should we deny ourselves, we should take up his cross daily. The cross of Christ. Taking up the cross daily doesn't mean, oh man, my life, I got such a terrible life. I got so many things, and it's such a hard cross that you've had me bear. No, taking up the cross of Christ is daily remembering what he did for you on that cross. That's taking up the cross daily. Daily I remember what he did for us. Hallelujah. So I take up the cross. It says, for Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews want a sign. The religious want a sign. Show me a sign, God. Show me a sign. The Greeks, the wise of the world, the intellects, say, we're seeking after wisdom because we can find and do anything on our own. But if you want the power of God in your life, if you want the wisdom of God in your life, if you want that unleashed in your life, what you need to do is place your faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, whether you're religious, don't be religious. Whether you think you're wise, I'll tell you, your wisdom, God's foolishness is much greater than all the wisdom, not just of you, but of every single person on this planet, including every AI and all the AIs combined. All the computers combined, all working together in whatever, the foolishness of God is wiser than all of man's wisdom. So, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. The power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Let him be part of your life. You take up the cross daily, what he did for you on the cross. Just quickly, how many Gospels are there in the New Testament? How many? Four. Why isn't there just one gospel? The reason there's four gospels, and gospel means good news. The reason there's four gospels is because every gospel focuses and emphasizes a different part of who Jesus should be in your life. Every single one of the gospels has this thing in common. They all talk about Jesus going to the cross. They all talk about Jesus bearing our sins, dying for us, and being raised from the dead on the third day. Every single one of them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all take from their perspective. And just quickly, just so you know. And again, the wisdom and power of God flows through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and our faith there. It comes through there. You want the power of God in your life? You want the wisdom of God in your life today? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So, the book of John, the gospel according to John, Jesus is Savior. Jesus was my Savior 53 years ago. For some of you, you gave your life to Jesus just recently. I just say thank you, Logan, that you made that decision. Yes. What a change taking place in your life. You've made that decision. You made a confession of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But let me just say this. This is where I got it wrong. Jesus just is not just my Savior for 53 years ago, and then He leaves, and that's it. Jesus is my Savior for today. So He is there to help me to get through this day. There is no problem. There is nothing that you face that Jesus can't help you with and through. And so every morning when I wake up, there's a confession of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, let Your name and Your sacrifice be great in my life. Today, I need it. I need You. I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen today. But God knows exactly what's going to happen today in your life. And He's there to say, I want to help you through it. It doesn't matter what it is. I can help you through it. Let Him. Jesus. And this is where I made a big mistake. Because I didn't recognize that. I didn't know that to the extent that He wants to do it. And so I was trying to take care of every single problem that might come up. And even in my own life. And it was like, oh, I can't do it. And I couldn't. I'd fail. With Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the power and the wisdom comes through, and He is my Savior. When it comes to your future, we say, well, I got to do this, 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 and this. Matthew talks all about Jesus being King. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. All authority has been given to Him in heaven and on earth. And even when you place Him as King in your life, as Lord in your life, that means, Lord, I'm not in control. Thank God I don't need to know everything. I don't even know the future. I don't know the details. I want Your plans and Your purposes, Your will to be done in my life. You are seated on the throne of my life, and I surrendered my life to Him. And I say, thank You, Lord. He is able to do life in us and through us a lot better than we could ever do on our own. And so Jesus desires, focuses on Jesus being your King. Jesus, You are my King. And I want to say that you would let Jesus be your King and Lord today, because you don't have to worry then. You may say, Pastor, do you have any problems? Yeah, still have problems. The things that I'm supposed to do, I do. The things that I can't do that are impossible, the Lord does. I leave it over into His hands. Otherwise, you know what? There are days that I wouldn't get out of bed. I couldn't. I don't know what to do. Sometimes there's situations that come up in a split moment, whether it's for my life or it's others that come and they call me and they say, hey, Pastor, this is what's happening. I thank God that I'm not God and I'm not Lord. I can pray with you, but I'll tell you right now, when you have Jesus Christ as King in your life and Lord in your life, you don't have to worry. Can somebody say amen? Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. We try to make everything happen. We want to say, well, I got to do this and I got to do that. Man, do we mess it up sometimes. Oftentimes. The Lord is saying, I can do a work that you cannot. Jesus Christ as King and Lord in your life. That's Matthew. Mark, you read through Mark and there's two focuses. The gospel, Jesus presenting the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark 1, verse 15. As he began his ministry, he says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." I'm going to make a turn. I'm turning and I'm repenting is a 180. I'm on my way to hell. It's a highway. It's a wide road that leads to destruction. And narrow is the way that leads to life. Very few find it. Lord, I'm doing a 180. I want your life. And the thing about Mark is, Jesus is emphasized as healer. We need healing in our life. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's health situations. Jesus is our healer, the healer for our life. So we go to him. Jesus, you are able to heal me. Jesus Christ and him crucified, it says, by his stripes, his punishment, the torture that was put on him. In fact, if you've never seen The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson did not a bad job. I would recommend everybody see that. You see just the physical aspect, but you don't see the spiritual aspect that talks about our sins and even the diseases and the illnesses and everything that was placed on him. You can't see that physically. And it was placed on him 2,000 years ago. Your health issue, my health issues were put on him 2,000 years ago so that we can have healing as we place our faith in Jesus Christ. You say, "Pastors, God not use doctors and nurses?" And absolutely. Every good gift to man and every perfect gift to mankind is from the Father of lights, whom there is no shadow of turning. I don't have issue with doctors because every good gift is given by the Father of lights. But I also know that there are things that the doctors can do. In fact, we prayed this last week. The doctors were looking. There's two situations this past week. The doctors couldn't figure it out. They thought one individual had meningitis. They didn't know what the other one had. Two separate incidents. And by the power of prayer in Jesus' name, both of them, there was healing that took place. One within 30 minutes. The man, I just talked to him, he was going to be here today, doesn't have a vehicle in, but he was going to be here, and his son. And he says, "Here I am 2 days in the hospital in St. Catharines already," and he says, "What am I doing?" His son, writhing, convulsing, fever, high temperatures, headaches, all these different things. He says, "What am I doing?" He says, "I haven't even prayed yet." And he laid his hands on his son. "In Jesus' name, be healed. In Jesus' name, be healed." 30 minutes later, his son says, "Dad, I feel good." And they kept him in for another 2 days, I believe, to do all these tests on him. And he was fine. In fact, yes. Jesus, my healer. The other individual said we had prayed for him 3 days again. Sunday night started, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I heard about it. Hey, can I just give you something? Don't wait so long to call others to pray for you. 3 days, again, just laid right out, did not leave the bed, did not eat for 3 days. I find out on the third day, "Hey, Pastor, can you pray for me?" So we prayed. I prayed. I sent it out to prayer force. And there was about 50 or 60 of you that probably got that message and you prayed. Just say, "Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, my healer." He went to bed on Wednesday night. Thursday morning, he woke up and it was all gone. He called me up. He says, "It's all gone." The power of Jesus' name as we pray and what he did for us on the cross, he's our healer. Last thing, in Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke, he's a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The moment you gave your life to Jesus, listen to me. The moment you gave your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God entered. It says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we need to be baptized. Even though the Holy Spirit is in us, We need to be baptized in, just like we're going to go right into this water. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and move with Him. We can step out and say, no, I don't want to do, I want to do my own thing. It grieves the Holy Spirit. But to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I can't baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the one that baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16 talks about that. Hallelujah. For those of you that have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, seek the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And the last thing is to follow Jesus. How do we follow someone? Basically, I love them. I follow somebody because I love them. I believe in them. And so I follow them. God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said to him, to the one that was asking, well, what's the most important, the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Not only do we love God, but we love those that are around us. You know what? It's kind of hard to love those that are around us if we're not following Jesus. As we follow Jesus, we will love Him, and we will love our neighbor as ourselves. Secondly, if we love somebody, we will do what they ask us to do, especially the Lord. Jesus said, if you love me, if you really love me, keep my commandments. Do what I ask you to do. You might say, oh man, it's so hard. And this is where, again, keep your faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It says in verse 16, John 14:16, says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And so the Holy Spirit is there to help us to keep the commandments, His commandments, and say, I love you, Lord. Every time you keep His commandments, you're saying to the Lord, I love you. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's following Jesus. He is Lord in your life. Praise God. Just want to close with this one verse. If we keep our faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we will be with Him forever and ever. Hebrews 13:20 says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the God of peace, that we have peace with Him, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, He made a covenant, He made a promise, He gave us this promise, and it was stamped and with the blood, it was covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, His death on the cross. And here's what happens. We'll make you, listen to this, we'll make you complete in every good work, every action, every thought, every word, every attitude that you might have to complete you, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Praise God. Working in us what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever means that we're going to be with Him forever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to just get ready here. And can we just stand for a moment? Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.